You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. When Isabella Dam was built back in the 1950s, northeast of Bakersfield, it was hailed as a great engineering achievement. The structure held back the mighty Kern River to provide water for farmers and communities and help protect the southern San Joaquin Valley from floods. But about 10 years ago, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers discovered that the dam had some problems. Geologists discovered an active fault that ran under the dam. There was also a risk the earth and dam could be overtopped during an extreme flood, and the structure had seepage issues at the base. According to Kern County officials, in a worst-case scenario with the reservoir full and a failure of the main dam, some parts of the city of Bakersfield could be under 20 feet of water or more. That possibility led the Army Corps of Engineers, which runs Lake Isabella and the dam, to do two things: change the way they operate the facility by lowering water levels to reduce the risk, and to begin designing a solution to the problems. Joining us now to tell us more about what's already happened and what is soon to happen at Lake Isabella, we have with us now in our studio Sam Winder. He's with the Army Corps of Engineers Isabella Dam Safety Modification Project. He's the senior project manager for that. Sam, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Let's start out with talking about the problems with Isabella Dam as it was designed back over a half century ago, and start with the spillway, since that's what's on everyone's mind nationally and especially in California with what we saw happen in Oroville. What's wrong with the spillway presently at Lake Isabella?
So I'd like to provide one point of clarification.
Yeah.
The spillway itself is operates normally, operates just as we designed it. It's on a good granitic foundation, very solid. We've also operated it several times by necessity when the water levels rise. So we actually know that our spillway works and as designed.
So it's not a structural problem with it like falling apart like we saw in Oroville.
Exactly. The three deficiencies that we know about the dam, first, hydrologically, we know that the watershed, which is about the size of Delaware, actually holds more water than we initially thought in the 1950s. You know, as our science and understanding of the watershed have improved, we realize that there's more water that could potentially be stored in that watershed, and eventually that all drains into the lake. So we know that in a very rare event, we could get more water than what we originally designed the dam for. Now, secondly, as you mentioned, the seismic deficiency underneath the auxiliary dam is a concern. We initially, again, thought that the Kern Canyon Fault was inactive. Again, the science has advanced in those 50, 60 years since then, and we realized it is an active fault. There is no imminent threat. I want to emphasize that. But we want to make sure that our dam can withstand kind of the worst-case scenario. We've studied that fault. We've done a lot of investigations into that, dug trenches across the fault to investigate how it's moved in the past. And because we can specify exactly, you know, the location of where the dam is and what fault it is and how that fault moves, we can incorporate that into our dam design so that we can make sure that we have enough safety factor to mitigate for the worst case scenario if that fault were to become active again. The third issue that you talked about was seepage. As any of the locals know, the Burrell Canal runs through the auxiliary dam. We built that in the 1950s along with the rest of the dam construction, and we suspect there may be some seepage through the canal into the dam. All dams have seepage or some leaking to some extent. We feel that that seepage is beyond modern engineering design standards. And so we want to fix that seepage so that it's no longer a problem.
So going back to this thing with the spillway, you say it's not a problem with it being broken like we saw with Oroville. That's clearly not the case, as there's not even any water near it right now. But you say that there's more water in the Sierra than we anticipated. So what could that do? Is it a matter of the reservoir's not big enough or the spillway can't handle enough water? Why a concern there?
So I want to emphasize this is for extreme events. We're talking storms that come around once every 4,000 years. The storm that we had this year has been, you know, once in a couple, you know, about 22 years is the information I've had. So this is about one in every 25 to 50 years. So when we're designing our improvements, we're looking, you know, extremely rare, extremely large rainfall events. The snowpack actually is not as much of a problem because we have employees who have experience looking at how much snow is in the mountains, and they can forecast how much that snow is going to melt throughout the year. And we can adjust how much water we're letting out of the lake in response to how much we predict is going to be coming in. So the spillway itself isn't large enough to handle a 4,000-year event. So that's why we're going to be excavating a large emergency spillway as part of the modification project.
Again, we're talking about the efforts underway with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to retrofit and improve the Lake Isabella Dam as it holds back the Kern River. In a worst-case scenario, it could cause huge problems in Bakersfield, but that's not likely at this point, partially because you've changed the way you operate the dam. Where are we right now? I understand you're ramping up releases right now to keep it under a certain level. What's going on?
That's correct. We have what's called our restricted pool and a gross pool. So if we before we discovered the deficiencies in the dams, we had gross pool, which is essentially the entire bathtub is full. So right now, our restricted pool, we limit the amount of water to 65% of normal, which keeps us about 20 feet below what water level would be otherwise. And what that does is it gives us about 20 feet of freeboard. If we were to experience a seismic event or get a large inflow of water, it gives us time to be able to let more water out and hold back that extra inflow of water while we lower the lake levels. So it gives us kind of an extra margin of safety until we complete our dam safety modifications.
You mentioned that you'll be excavating this new emergency spillway in the dam. What do you do for the two structures, really? It's two earthen dams that we call a little Isabella Dam, the main dam and the auxiliary dam. How do you fix those? What do you do to them? These are rock, earthen structures. It's not Hoover Dam with this big piece of concrete that we think of. How do you fix this thing?
Yeah, that's correct. Both the dams are earthen dams. So part of the excavation of the spillway is going to go into our modifications. So the general concept of how we're going to fix the dams is we're going to excavate our emergency spillway. And we know from all of our investigations that that's good granitic rock. It's very solid. You can crush it and make different materials. So we're going to take the rock that we excavate, break it down into smaller pieces, and then place it on the main and the auxiliary dams. We are going to excavate a little bit from the foundation of the auxiliary dam to give it some more buttressing. And then we're going to layer different size materials so that it allows water that seeps through to pass through the dam as opposed to staying there, which is one of our deficiencies. One other advantage to knowing the fault that we have and knowing the possible displacement, we're actually doubling the thickness of our of each of the layers that we put on the dam so that in the event that we do have an earthquake, any movement of the dam, we have double the safety factor so that we still maintain the performance of the dam.
There's a new article out in the Sacramento Bee talking about the Orville situation, and the report goes on to quote a number of outside officials saying the operational manual for Orville hasn't been updated in 50 years. And they say it doesn't take into account the two largest flood events that California had seen since the dam was built, 1982-83, that big winter storm year, and also the New Year's Eve floods back, I think it was 1997, let alone climate change and how in the future rain and snowfall, the mix could change, and it might result in a different way that people should operate facilities. Have you updated the plan to operate Lake Isabella, and how does that reflect the potential with climate change?
So we have updated in regards to the restricted pool. You know, we're limiting the amount of water that.
So essentially, that's what that is.
Yes, that's the temporary update to our water control manual. Until the dam modifications are complete, that restricted pool will remain in place. Otherwise, we will continue operating in accordance with the water control diagram that has been in place for a number of years. The other point I'd like to make is just because a manual seems older does not mean that it's not up to date and it doesn't satisfy our operational requirements. We're still operating the dam the same way. It's still we believe it's safe. We've shown it to be safe with the few times we've had to use the spillway. So we're confident that any updates to the manual that we need to make, we will be making as conditions change. And one other point for updating the manual, it does require authorization and money from Congress in order to make those updates.
I want to move on to that. Now, there's been a lot of concern about the amount of time it has taken since these issues first arose back in the middle of the last decade, around 2005. Some concerns about the seismic activity or potential for seismic activity were raised, and the Corps began studying the issue later that decade. Now we're all the way in 2017. Even House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy issued a statement this week and saying that you know he wants to see this move forward swiftly. What's taken so long to solve this problem?
Well, this isn't an easy problem to solve. There are a lot of moving parts, very complex. We have to take a lot of different stakeholders into account, not just the Corps, but other federal agencies around the lake. We have to think about the Water Master and the local population, and we have to do right by them. So it involves a lot of planning, and during the design phase, for our own internal safety reviews and making sure that the design is correct, takes time. This is a very high dollar value project, and we don't want to go in and do an incomplete design and build something that doesn't hold up later. So we are taking the time to make sure that we are maintaining public safety, and we're building something that's safe and maintains our high standard of quality so that we can continue to operate this dam safely into the future.
When something like Oroville happens, I imagine, even though it's not your facility, it's a state facility, I imagine everyone in the industry, whether it's in California or outside, is paying extra close attention. Have you changed anything in what you do at Lake Isabella after Oroville? Have you done more inspections, things like that?
We do increase our inspections as the water level rises. This is independent of any other events at another dam. During the drought, we would inspect the actual dam weekly. We would be inspecting our instrumentation every 2 weeks. As the water level rises, that triggers more inspections as we go along. So now with the water level near our restricted pool, we are daily monitoring and inspecting both auxiliary and main dams. We're also checking our instrumentation weekly. If there are any seismic events, last year, almost a year ago, there was an earthquake in Wasco just outside of Bakersfield. Our operations personnel went out immediately and checked all of our instrumentation on our dams to make sure that it was structurally safe. Also, independent of any events that happen outside of Lake Isabella, we do yearly pre-flood season inspections. We did ours in November of 2016 to go along with reviewing our emergency action plan. And also we have a 5-year kind of more in-depth engineering inspection that we completed in November of 2015. So we're completing these monitoring and inspections regardless of what happens either at Oroville or other dams in accordance with increased risk when the water level comes up. We acknowledge that that's there, and so we're taking the steps to make sure that we're ensuring the public safety.
Does the drought factor into any of this in any way? You know, the levels have been down so low for so long. Does that present an interesting challenge in now that, wow, we're seeing water where we haven't seen it in years? Does that add an extra level of complexity maybe not concern, but this is something you pay attention to?
It is a nice change of scenery to have water in all of the lakes again. As someone who lives in California, I appreciate it. It doesn't change our operations, though. We still operate in accordance with our water control manual. It's just we have to pay a little bit more attention now because the water is near our limits. And so we're daily monitoring how much water we're letting out and how much water we are seeing come in or expect to come in. We're looking at the forecasts just as rigorously as we always have. Our operations have not changed. It's just now the water level is a little bit higher.
So walk us through the timeline here. Where are we in terms of seeing actual construction begin on the retrofits that you talk about? And again, how much does all this cost?
So we just finished the complete design for the dams and spillways contract. It's now headed over to our contracting personnel. We're going to solicit, ask the large construction contractors to put in their bids, tell us how much they think it's going to cost, how long it will take, how they're going to do the work, small businesses that they're going to be including to work with them. We have our standards that we're going to give to them, and we're going to see if they can beat those standards and get us a better product for the American taxpayer. So we intend to solicit this contract in the next couple months and award by fall of this year. It'll take a few months for equipment to get moving to the site and to start the actual construction, which for the dams and spillways project will be late winter or early spring of next year. However, we are already constructing several buildings for the U.S. Forest Service. They have facilities that are currently in the footprint of where we're going to be excavating. As you can imagine, that's a poor place to have a building when you're trying to blast rock out around it. So we're actually moving them out of the way in order to expedite our construction.
Congress has already approved $85 million for this project. Is that going to be enough to finish the job?
No. So our congressionally authorized cost for the entire project is about $650 million.
Wow. So this this remains an issue there to pay for all these changes. Again, talking about the Lake Isabella Dam Modification Project, trying to improve the safety of that structure that opened back in the early 1950s. With all the rain and all the snow that is up in the Kern River watershed right now, do you anticipate having to use the spillway this year? Is that something you want to avoid, or is that a possibility?
So we're operating the water levels to maintain our restricted pool, and at that level, we are not going to be using the service spillway. Based on our projections, we will be remaining at or just below the restricted pool for the rest of this year, peaking around June, July timeframe. There may come a time if we get a large rainstorm where we may temporarily exceed our restricted pool, but we will quickly and aggressively release water in order to get down below that elevation. So we don't anticipate using the service spillway this year.
And speaking of releasing water from the dam, does that also present challenges and concerns in terms of downstream risks with erosion, flooding? How do you try to balance that?
And just like you said, it is a balancing act. We work very closely with the Kern River Water Master, the local population, the farmers in the area, because this is not just one individual piece. It's part of a larger system. And so we have to work with all of our partners and all of our stakeholders to make sure that when we are releasing water, that those downstream interests can take it. And we do have some limits that we think, well, we know where we could possibly get some damage downstream. And so we are trying to coordinate.
Where is that?
I don't specifically know where that damage would be. And I don't want to speculate. But we do have kind of a self-imposed limit to make sure that we don't cause any damage downstream unless it's absolutely necessary.
Again, we're talking with Sam Winder today with the Army Corps of Engineers Isabella Dam Safety Modification Project. Sam, thanks so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.